God's about to come in every house that's jacked up from the flow up. He's going to come in every mind, every heart, every situation, every spirit, every unhappy relationship. And he's about to step in the house. And I'm here to tell you, before we get there, he's finna clean house. Oh, he's finna clean house. But you first got to shut the door.
Here's your chance for God to move on your behalf. Are you ready to shut the door?
When you're possessed with demons, he don't even talk to you. He doesn't come to your house when you have issues. He'll let you touch it. But when you are at the point of death, Jesus is about to step in your... I don't know if I'm preaching to anybody in the house that know they got a situation that don't need to be cast out or need to be touched out. But you know that your situation is at the point of death. I'm here to tell you Jesus is on his way to your house.
It's time to get ready for your moment of victory, deliverance, and freedom as you shut the door with Pastor Carlisle Bennett.
Welcome to the media page of New Life Philadelphia Center's website. We're glad to share with you a sermon entitled, Shut the Door, by Overseer Carlisle Bennett. Are you at your wit's end? Have you been struggling? Do you have problems that seem to mount up and you can't find any way out? Or even at a detrimental state in your life where there is no turning back? Well, my friend, don't fret. We have good news for you. Shut the Door is a realistic, an in-depth view on how God wants to come and have a true relationship with you, to where he personally comes and visit your troubled situation, and he's going to shut the door and make things right only if you let him in. So without further ado, we're proud to present this sermon, Shut the Door, ministered by Overseer Carlisle Bennett to the body of Christ. Let's go into the sermon in progress.
Amen. Go touch three people and say, shut the door, shut the door, shut the door. 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 Amen. Shut the door. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Shut the door. Shut the door. Amen. Amen. Shut the door. Amen. But this is a faithful saying, the word of all application, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, who I am the chief of. We ask people and believers of the faith that are here today, we have a great opportunity to have the word of God to be our source from which we live on. We as a people of faith, we have to believe God's word, believe God through his word, and by the leading of the Holy Ghost, to receive what we call a breakthrough or deliverance. To receive God's word, we have the Holy Ghost that leads us and guides us into all truth. But in time past, matriarchs and patriarchs of old didn't have that opportunity, which what we call the Holy Ghost. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. Amen. They had God with us, not God in us. We have the God that's in us. In the Old Testament, Brother Richardson, they had the God that was with them. Amen. To be led by the Holy Spirit, they didn't have it. But their lives was told to us in stories of types of narratives. There's four types of Old Testament, amen, narratives. If you ever read the Old Testament, it's only four types of story that's been told that you will ever read in the Old Testament. Can I give it to you? Amen. One is called comedic, C-O-M-E-D-I-C-H. This is a story with a happy ending. Often characterized by the progression from one problem to solution. You can find that happening with the story of Joseph in Genesis chapter 37. Amen. You will find Joseph having a dream. And the word of God declares that Joseph tells his brothers and it gets him in trouble. But during the time of the story, if you keep reading, amen, we go from the problem that he gets in with his brother to bringing them to a solution, that the problem that they had in Canaan, which was called the famine. That's one story narrative that you'll find in the Old Testament called comedic. It stems from the root word comic. to be comedian or to be a comic. Amen. Second one is heroic. Somebody shout heroic. A story built around the life of episodes of leading characters, protagonists, people who made the way for not just themselves, but for others. All right? Especially focusing on struggle and triumph. When you get to heroic stories in the Old Testament, I can use people like Abraham and Sarah. They were protagonists. There was people that was not living their lives through their struggles and triumphs for themselves, but for nations that was going to come out of Abraham. Amen. Amen. You can become a hero today because of his heroic acts in the Old Testament. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody shout amen. You can find that in Genesis 12 through 25. The third one, somebody say number three, is a epic. It's still from the word episode. A hero story on a grandin scale. Someone with interest in often containing supernatural characters and events. A nationalism. Someone who believes that God moves on them or for them in supernatural events or character. Epic episode. You will find that, amen, dealing with Moses, where Moses had different episodes with Pharaoh to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt to a land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey. Amen. Epic. Amen. Amen. And last but not least, somebody shout tragic. Oh, you know, when you read the Old Testament, you read about a lot of tragic, amen, stories in the Old Testament. Ain't that right, Sister Evangelist Scott? A lot of tragic, amen, stories in the Old Testament. Story that portraying the change of fortune. Usually a movement from prosperity to catastrophic, focusing on the outcome of a human choice. When you read tragic that happened in the Old Testament, it is based on someone's human choice to make a decision to do something that will cause them to get in trouble with God. A good picture that I can paint would be Adam and Eve. Amen. In Genesis chapter 3, amen, they made a decision that brought them to a catastrophic descending or fall in their life. They go from, amen, amen, being somewhere with God to being away from God. I call that a tragedy. When you can be so good and doing so fine in God and for God, and all of a sudden you make a decision that will mess your life up for the next 10 years. That's a tragedy. So in the Old Testament, amen, there's four types of narrative story that you will ever read, amen, in the Old Testament. The fourth one is tragic. The third one is epic, as from the stem word episode. The second one is heroic, amen. And the one I would like to preach on this morning will be the one of comedic. It's when God takes you from problem to solution. And you end up with a happy story at the end. It's called "And They Live Happily Ever After." The word of God in chapter 5 of Mark. Can I preach like I feel it? And that means I'm not going to do much because I don't feel like preaching. Here in Mark chapter 5, we see a chapter full of problems. A chapter full of problems. I didn't allow him to read all the whole chapter, but you scholars and theologians and, amen, Bible carrying and, amen, vocation, Bible school, summer school going and Sunday school listeners, amen. If you know chapter 5, amen, is a chapter full of problems. A glimpse of J.C. ministry is at full bloom in chapter 5. His outreach ministry is up and running with all cylinders. Look at somebody and say, the bishop is in town. The bishop comes off his yacht, amen, out of a hurricane, and he's in town. You can tell when Jesus is in the house. Things go to changing. Things go to getting better. Folks go to smiling when Jesus is in the house. Oh, yes, 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 yes. When Jesus come in the house, I don't care what's going on before he got there. Things have to change when Jesus come to the house. Can I tell you, that's what the devil is blocking from Jesus coming to your house. If you come, if he come to your house where there's sadness, there'll be joy. Mm-hmm. If he ever come to your house where there's sickness, there'll be healing. If he ever get in your bank account and you just line your finance, your check, your $7.25, amen, an hour with tithes and offering and high priest and the deliverance, God will get inside of your finance and make $7.25 look like $25.70. That's what kind of God that I serve, that when he steps his foot on the premises, all hell gotta leave. All demons gonna go to shaking and all devil gotta flee. Look at somebody, because it's too early to tell you to touch your neighbor. But look at him real soft and say, guess what, neighbor? If Jesus ever come where you are, everybody will know it. Oh, yes. When you go to the barbershop, everybody should know that Jesus just stepped in the barbershop. When you go get your hair done, everybody should know that Jesus just came in the hair salon. When you go to Target, everybody should know that Jesus just came to Target. I say Bishop is in the house. The first problem that Jesus Christ's ministry encounter is a lunatic man. One that left his house, dwells amongst grave, cuts himself, filled with unclean spirit. And may I add, he's naked. Secondly, a ruler from the synagogue. Watch that now. A ruler named Jairus from the synagogue comes up to Christ and asks that he should come to his house because his little daughter lieth at the point of death. Somebody just help me. Just shout the point of death. But while Jesus was on his way there, what was going to be the third problem of a long day now become an immediate moment. I assume that this woman with issues, with a issue, thought that his daughter is at the point of death, so it would give me enough time to interrupt him, seeing all she needed for her 12-year issue was a simple point of contact. She said, well, I can interrupt his daughter being at the point of death because I just only need a point of contact. Yeah, yeah. So he can touch me while he's going there, or I can touch him while he's going there, seeing that his daughter really ain't dead. She's just on the point of death. You know, folks will try to interrupt when you in trouble. I look at somebody and say, I don't need you interrupting me now. I need some bills paid. I don't need you asking me for the money because I don't have that much to pay mine. People always think their situation is more important than yours. What would give you that inclination that your situation is more, amen, detrimental than mine? Because I'm not carrying a fit, because I'm not dripping with blood, because everybody don't know that I'm going through. That's why you believe that my issue is less important than your issue, because yours just happened and mine just happened and yours been going on for 12 years. So you think that you can interrupt what God is about to do for me? Well, if you don't want me to interrupt, I'm going to do it anyway. And I stop by just to say, man, to just stop right here, just give God a swag leg right quick, that sometimes you got to interrupt folks when they're in the prayer line. In the folks' ropes when they in the offering line, in the folks' ropes when they coming to talk to the pastor. Yours ain't that important, because if yours were that important, you lay prostrate before the pastor all night long to get what you needed from the Lord. You ain't even text the woman. I've been blowing her phone number up. I've been giving out, amen, emails and sending out texts, and she haven't, amen, returned my yet. I then deem that my situation is just more important than yours. Wave your hand if you believe that your, amen, situation is more important than the person that's sitting beside you. I believe that. You can be bleeding. Mine's still important. All your teeth came out your mouth. Mine's still important. Go see the dentist. You might have walked here, but mine is more important than, y'all not, because you're sitting beside your wife, because you're sitting beside your BFF. Let me tell you something. When you need God to do something for you, you don't care what nobody else wants from God. Have you ever prayed to God? God, I know you listening to sister so-and-so, and I know sister brother so-and-so wants something, but I need a car before they get a car. I don't even have money to catch it, but at least they got 2 quarters to catch it. Anybody in the house think that your problem is more important than somebody else? Look at somebody, say, you need to act like it then. Act like it. Amen. Amen. I can hear that woman saying, I'll come to him while he's going to her. Isn't it amazing that we all can have problems? This chapter is full of problems. Wow. But I only want to talk about one problem. And that's Jairus. What's going on in Jairus' house? It's amazing that we all can have problems. And can have problems at the same time. Can I tell you something? Trouble don't wait to finish with you then deal with me. We all got trouble. Trouble will laugh you in the face and hit me in the gut at the same time. Trouble don't wait to attack one marriage and go to another marriage. Trouble don't wait to stop attacking your child with being rebellious and attacking somebody else's child with being disrespectful. Trouble don't wait. Trouble is disrespectful. Trouble don't take no names and takes no reservation for who or what he messed with. Trouble is not a polite individual. Trouble will even come to a funeral. Trouble even comes to baptisms. I'm here to tell you there's trouble at your job. The last place you would think would be trouble is in the church, but this church is full of trouble. Yours too. I know you don't think no trouble at your house, but there's some trouble. Don't cook his grits. Don't bring that check home, husband. You'll find out how much trouble. Oh, you know I got it right, because Job said it like this: a man is born and a woman is full of trouble. Oh, you want to see a black man dead that's in trouble with his black wife? Let him not have no life insurance. He don't get in trouble. Trouble. It's amazing that we all have them. But it requires us, somebody say it requires us, and not Jesus alone, to arrive to the answer. Well, I'm finding out Jesus ain't doing his thing by himself. No, sir, we're going to have to be co-partners. We're going to have to, amen, unite with Christ to get our answer. So it required the husband, my bad, the lunatic man, to arrive that he was possessed with legions to get deliverance. In this chapter, we got a lot of problems. And for the man that was, the man, the lunatic man, for him to get delivered, he had to realize that he had to confess that he was possessed with demons to get delivered. The woman with the issue had to humble herself, bow down, and touch the hem of his garment to get her answer. And that leads us unto the pastor's house. Jairus' house. To see about his youth department. His daughter. Verse 35. Turn with me, please. Verse 35 in Mark chapter 5. Amen. Go with me to Mark chapter 5, verse 35. We'll do a little something. Whatever the body allowed me to do. Amen. It says in verse 35, now this is a serious problem. One's daughter dying. He comes to verse 35 and said, yet while one speck that came from the rulers of the synagogue's house, certain which said, thy daughter is dead, why trouble ye the master? Now, let me tell you something. That's a serious problem. I think it is. I think that's a serious problem that somebody's daughter is dead. I don't want us to gloss over that. It concerns me that out of all three problems, the most important one, Christ get to it at the end. That troubles me. That Christ doesn't hurry because he knows all things. He doesn't hurry to deliver this man's daughter. He walks. He got on his yacht to deliver the lunatic. Yes, he did. Amen. He got taught to deliver the woman with the issue. But we're going to walk. Now, it don't give us a geographical, amen, in the text of how far Jairus' house was. But surely it wasn't around the corner. All right? Went around the corner. Amen. It took enough time for us to walk there. So this woman, by the time we found out that she was even a point, it took so long to get this woman with issue of blood delivered. My God, Jesus, she dead. Well, it concerns me. Look at somebody say, it concerns me that Christ always fits the worst problem last. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. It concerns me. Because sometimes he act like he taking the poor little time. Y'all, don't give me that religious song. He might don't come when he want, but he on time. He need to hurry up. I'm going to preach in a minute. Hold on. It just seems as if what you need God to do the most, he put it on a back burner. Have you ever been there and asked God to do something for you that you need him to do it now? Because if he would fix this problem, all the other problems work itself out. Ask God to heal cancer, he give you a promotion in the job. That ain't going to cure this cancer. Ask for a husband, he give you a new church. And say this, y'all know how Christ is. It's cold outside. I don't know about y'all, last night it was cold. We serve a God that'll put you out in the cold and give you some shorts. And say, believe on me. Oh, that's the kind of God we serve. God will pitch you out there. You ain't never had swimming lesson. Call Peter and say, do the backstroke. That's what kind of God we serve. We serve a God that will pitch you in the wilderness, a dry place, a place where there's nothing, until you believe that water going to come out of a rock. Y'all ain't hearing me. God. Oh, Lord Jesus. It concerns me. I know y'all got all that Old Testament faith, and you know, you live in all three generations worth of salvation. But it's just a little shaky to me. That it concerns me that God always coming at the end if it's the most problem that I need him to do at the most. Amen. The man was just possessed. The woman just had an issue for 12 years. She could have waited for 13, another one. Y'all ain't heard what I just said. I said this was a full-grown man possessed with demons. And obviously he had a little coming since he left his house. Y'all know it. He had some since he took his clothes off. And this woman with 12 years of problems, she couldn't wait 12 years in one day? She had no business in the city anyway. I told you I'm tired. It would seem to me that if any problem that could have waited, it could have been the man and the woman. But what I come to know about my God is he'll come and make a house visit when you're at the point of death. Now, I'm going to say it again. We serve a God that makes house visits when you're at the point of death. Uh-huh. When you possess with a demon, he only talks to you. y'all didn't hear what I just said. When you're possessed with demons, he don't talk to you. He doesn't come to your house when you have issues. He'll let you touch him. But when you are at the point of death, Jesus is about to step in your... I don't know if I'm preaching to anybody in the house that know they got a situation that don't need to be cast out or need to be touched out. But you know that your situation is at the point of death. I'm here to tell you Jesus is on his way to your house.
We would like to thank you for taking the time and stopping by our media page and listening to our sermon clips. If you would like to receive each sermon in its entirety, please make sure you stop by our donate page. Please enter the sermon title, how many CDs you need, and remember, each CD is $7 each. Please continue to stop by our media page as we continue to update it with powerful sermons that will help you on your journey as you continue to walk with Christ.